Welcome to the CDC podcast, taken from our Insight event series. The series aims to share practical lessons on private sector investment and development based on our experiences, knowledge, and research. In this episode, we hear CDC's Head of External Affairs, Colin Buckley, in conversation with Amit Bhuri, the co-founder and chief executive officer of the Global Impact Investors Network. They are joined by Yasmin Lamy, CDC's deputy chief investment officer, to discuss what role impact investing should play in the COVID recovery.
I'm delighted today to be joined by Amit Bhuri, CEO and co-founder of the Global Impact Investing Network. The start of this decade was heralded by global leaders as a pivotal moment for the UN's Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, which was intended to be the global blueprint for poverty eradication. And impact investing seemed to many to be a key vehicle to help address the estimated $2.5 trillion funding gap and drive the changes we needed to meet that 2030 SDG challenge. But then the pandemic struck. And today, we will have a conversation with Amit about the impact investing industry, about what he's seen in that industry, and also about COVID and the challenges it's made to the industry.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. And good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all of your guests who are here joining us for this discussion. Now our network includes over 330 organizations in 50 countries. And I think both that sense of the size of the network, but also this, you know, the scale of the market are real signs for their true potential for impact investing. So that current estimate at $715 billion US dollars in global assets under management reflects our best estimate of how big the market is today. But I think you really anchor this discussion on an important point. You know, we are kicking off the decade of action for the Sustainable Development Goals. And we know that impact investing we'll have to grow dramatically to rise to the occasion that the world's leaders have set for us in these important ambitions in the SDGs. And so we are very focused on how we drive that continued growth and really sustain the integrity of impact as the market evolves. There is a growing recognition that if we do want a world that is sustainable, just, and inclusive, we have to invest differently. And what seemed like a fairly radical idea in our early days, this notion of putting money to work to have a positive impact on the issues like those identified in the Sustainable Development Goals seemed like it was something that was just unfeasible or something that was the realm of governments and philanthropists, but not serious investing. What we have now is a recognition that with the issues like climate change and inequality continuing to unfortunately advance around the world, even pre-COVID, there's a recognition that investors and businesses need to operate differently. Now, within the impact investing market, in parallel, we've seen a significant growth and sophistication and track record for impact investing overall. So we have more data, we have a strong performance record across the market, and we have increasing tools and resources that help build the credibility of impact investing. And we're now seeing a lot of mainstream interest in impact investing all around the world on six continents.
And COVID has been trumpeted by some as changing everything. But in the impact investing world, has it changed anything?
The COVID crisis is actually a series of crises, in my view. It is, of course, a crisis that is about public health, but is also an economic crisis. And I believe it's also led to a crisis of trust and confidence in the system. In institutions like government and the private sector, and even NGOs and the media, in being able to respond to a global threat. But how do we build a system on the other side of this crisis that is actually more resilient? And so how do we actually remedy some of the flaws that have been exposed by this crisis?
At last year's GIN annual conference, there was a lot of talk about the SDGs and about closing this $2.5 trillion gap in funding. Do you think COVID has inhibited the ability of us to close that gap? Or do you think potentially it's even aided us in closing that gap?
This is an important time for the SDGs. We're coming up in a couple of weeks on the 5-year anniversary of the announcement of the SDGs. And I think this was an important time to take stock for our progress and how far we need to go to actually achieve these important goals. I worry that COVID has really captured the attention for understandable reasons and has kind of taken the eye off the ball for the SDGs. So I think this is an important time for the United Nations and for all the leaders around the world committed to the SDGs to really make sure they are seen as front and center as part of the COVID recovery.
Do you think, I mean, what you're seeing, that the economic impact of COVID is going to continue to inhibit investors in our markets, these lower and middle income countries?
I think what's important to highlight is just the nature of kind of time and how this will evolve. And of course, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I think in the immediate response, I think there was kind of a circling of the wagons, if you will. Everyone was just trying to make sure that their portfolios were safe and initially much more conservative around how they thought about investing. People often talk about COVID accelerating trends that were already kind of in motion, things like remote work. Some people say it's moved ahead a decade compared to the natural progression that was already underway. I think one of those things that's being accelerated is actually interest in impact investing from mainstream institutions. Yasmin and I started working together. Actually, she helped kind of create the research capacity at the GIN through our partnership when she worked at JP Morgan, along with your other colleague, Nick O'Donohoe, who was very involved in the GIN's founding. So there were big institutions like JP Morgan interested in impact investing even back then, a decade plus ago. But now we see it very commonplace as, just about every major global bank has some activity in impact investing. And increasingly major institutional investors, so pension funds, insurance companies, and others are coming out to us to ask about impact investing and see how they can become more active in putting money to work to drive positive outcomes, particularly for the SDGs.
Thanks, Amit. Let me now broaden out the discussion and invite in Yasmin Lamy, who is the Deputy Chief Investment Officer of CDC on Catalyst Strategies. Today, what do you think is holding commercial investors back from impact investment? I mean, $700 billion is a very large number, but $3.5 trillion is certainly a much larger number by comparison.
This crisis has taught me a lot about balancing innovation with tried and tested tools. So if you look at the evolution of the impact investment market, outside of probably community finance in the United States, the bulk of the work has been really focused on the private equity instrument and maybe some venture capital funds, but really fund structures and usually equity investments. So often what's holding them back, and I lived this at JP Morgan, was we had a certain ticket size that we needed to meet, and the opportunity set was much smaller than that. And so there was a disconnect between the kind of business as usual size of things and scale of things that we were doing and what the impact investment opportunity set looked like. And actually, I think using credit and partnerships with banks, and I would just speak to the trade finance partnerships that we used as part of our systemic liquidity response back in May. It's a bilateral partnership between CDC and a bank. The bank is making loans into the market. We share the risk with the bank. It's actually fairly straightforward. And actually, we did a lot in trade finance, which is a very low-risk instrument. And we published an article last week with a colleague, Diana Kohler, from the trade finance team, about how with historic default rates less than 1%, this is a huge opportunity for investors that want to step into an impact investing domain. But today, there really aren't a lot of impact investors in this space. And I think part of the reason is it's pretty old-fashioned. It's kind of a boring instrument from a long time ago, and it's easy to forget about tried and tested tools when we're all looking forward to the future. So I think there's some opportunity to work more with debt and work more with banking partners and not just with fund managers.
And impact investors are focused on innovation. They love doing things that are new. They love tinkering with models. They love setting up new structures. And they're like inventors. They feed off of that kind of creation and really exploring new opportunities. But then there's a lot more capital around, the scale is around people who want things that are tried and true, things that may be old fashioned, plain vanilla. We had organized a panel at a conference with a CIO of a major European insurance company. They managed, I think, $200 billion in assets. And the way that he had talked about it, he's like, I like fifth time funds. funds that have been around, and they've done five different versions of that fund. And he said, I know that's not exciting. I know that's not boring, but that's not my aspiration in life. I want stuff that is tried and true. And I think that is, understanding those different roles is so important. And if we are going to achieve that scale of the SDGs, it's not all about innovation, but that's critically important. It's about taking the things that are proven at work and rolling them out all around the world so we can maximize the impact.
And Yasmin, should we be doing more to encourage local investors to become impact investors in our markets, our African markets and South Asian markets?
Absolutely. And I think the India Impact Investing Council is a great example of the power of that. That group has been putting a lot of thought together about the market that they're operating in, the tools that they can use in that market, crossing over between venture capital and different types of kind of fund profiles. And to me, that is a fantastic global leadership that we can all be learning from. So, I would welcome that kind of engagement from lots of different places. I think our funds team has actually been working with local pension fund managers in Africa to try and encourage and teach some of our methods there as well.
So let me finish off with this question. What are the practical steps that you think we can take now in order to expand the impact investing market further?
What impact investing is fundamentally about is putting money to work to have a positive impact for people, for communities, for the planet in a tangible and measurable way. It's focused on driving real results. And I think that emphasis is absolutely critical when we think about the recovery from this crisis, that we as impact investors and who are focused on development finance really underscore what we have to offer and lean into kind of advancing the market so it will actually be able to channel all those huge sums of capital from institutional investors to the communities that need the most. So a few things I'd highlight. We need to continue to work to educate investors about the possibility of impact investing, but also to bring a broader social mandate. So ordinary pensioners, whether they're in the UK, in the US, or anywhere else, ask that their money is put to work to have a positive impact on the world. We also need to make the case to the CIOs of the world, but we actually are now seeing a lot of interest from that community. But I think sticking to basics, making sure we adopt measurement tools like Iris Plus, we work to help make them better, and we really help share the data and do the research to make the case to the world broadly that we have to invest differently if we do want a sustainable and inclusive world.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Emmett. Thank you very much, Yasmin. Let me try and briefly summarize, I guess, what I've learned today, which is impact investing has certainly come a long way in the past 10 years, but it's not just about the amounts, which have increased extraordinarily, but it's also about the way that we're doing impact investing in the complexity. COVID has been a challenge in impact investing, as in many sectors, but it seems that it may also be the driver of positive change. So I would sum it up by saying that we have a lot of work ahead of us, much to work for, but I feel that we can leave today with much also to hope for. My thanks to all who joined us today.
Thank you for listening to the CDC podcast. You can find all our podcasts and more details of our Insight series on our website, cdcgroup.com.